Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the privilege, the honor, and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, shall we get together in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts open to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. Father, this we ask and covet with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11. And we will continue our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. The meaning and the importance of faith. So if you found Hebrews 11, please go to verse number 6. And I will read and you can follow. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, for the Christian believer, faith should be a way of life. We are told in Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by his faith. The just, or those that have been declared righteous, shall live by his faith. So faith is a way of life for the Christians. Faith is a way of living for the Christian. Faith, in terms of priority, is important to the believer because without it, there is no way you can please our Heavenly Father. The meaning of faith in its simplest form is simply acting on what you believe. Acting on what you believe. And that belief should be and is the Word of God. Now, our last time together, we were discussing how our faith can go from different levels of faith. The proper ingredients has to be brought together and the principles have to be in operation in order for the power of God, which is present all the time everywhere, to be activated. The power has to be accessed and activated, and it takes our faith to do it, not God. If it were God who advertently reached out and did the healing, then every person that God touched would be healed the same way, in the same amount of time. It would not make any difference what the condition or the circumstance was. God's power is omnipotent power. If God was automatically doing it on his own, anyone who God touched would be healed the same way. But why do things work differently? Some people's healing is instantaneously manifested. Others, it takes a process of time before it comes into manifestation. Why is that? Because it is the faith of the people. It is not God. Now remember, I also told you there are two things that impact when you will have them that will come to pass. Number one, the first is the nature of the thing that you are believing for. And the second is the level of your faith at the time of your prayer. Amen. Because it is the faith of the people. It is not God. You should begin to use your faith on the little things, the things that do not make any difference if they do not come to pass. For instance, if you get a headache, and we all get headaches every now and then, but I haven't had a headache in years because I've been using my faith. Amen. But if you get a headache, the most common thing we do is take an aspirin. And there is nothing wrong with that. But let me encourage you not to take the aspirin. Instead, use your faith. I can say use your faith because headaches are not usually a terminal condition. Use your faith on something that is not life-threatening. So if it does not come to pass, you will not die. You might go through some pain and agony, but pain is not dying because you can die without pain. What you want to do is use your faith on little things that are non-consequential, things that are not life-threatening until you develop your faith so that if a big thing does come, then you'll be able to handle it. Your faith will have been developed to where you can stand against it. Amen? I told you there were two things that determine how long it will take for and you will have them to come to pass. Remember? Well, I want to make point 2A and also say that in the process of and you will have them, you have an adversary who seeks whom he may destroy. He is the thief, better known as Satan, who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is going to come against you, and in that interim period, from the time you prayed until the manifestation of it, he is going to be attacking you to see how much you can stand. He's going to see if you are diligently to stand on the things of God or if you're going to be weak in faith. And so you have to be able to stand on the things of God. Amen. Now, please go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I told you in the interim, you have an adversary and his name is Satan. But how do we stand against this attack? Ephesians 6, we're going to begin with verse number 10. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So number one, God wants us to be strong in the word. Not weak, but be the strong. Then it goes on to say, beginning with verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then we're told to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor, that we be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the schemes of the devil. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our fight is not against one another. It is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having sodded your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we are to pray in the Spirit. Amen. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we have to put on the whole armor of God, and it never tells us to take it off. Because when we put on the whole armor of God, then we'll be able to deal with the schemes and the wiles of the devil. Amen. When you make your confession of faith, you should say, I believe I have received. And all the time you are making that confession, Satan in the spirit world is coming against your mind, against your circumstances, and against your body. You must be able to stand against the enemy. You must be able to stand against the enemy. We just read the scripture. It says, and having done all, to stand. So we can stand against the enemy. Not just believe that you have received, but also to stand against the onslaught of the enemy, who will surely come. Amen. He will come primarily against your mind, and his first or primary attack will be in the reference to fear. He will try to bring fear. Fear kills most people, not the sickness and diseases, because what fear would do is cause you to do something irrational. It makes you to do things that you would not ordinarily have done if you are not scared. The Bible instructs us in 2 Corinthians 13 and 1, it says, by the mouth of two or more witnesses, every word shall be established. So we're going to follow the letter of the law, and we're going to read from the Comparative Study Bible four different versions or translations of this particular verse, which is 1 Timothy 1:7. Now, we're dealing with fear and what Satan will try to bring to our minds. Okay, that's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, that is the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, let's go to the Amplified Bible. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, of cowardness, of craving, of fawning spirit fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." That is the Amplified portion of the Bible. Then the New American Standard Bible says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." That's the American Standard Bible. And finally, from the New International Bible, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." So we see, number one, that fear is a spirit of demonic origin. And it did not come from God, because we just read it, that God did not give us that spirit of fear. God has not given us that spirit of fear, but the spirit of power or the authority to impart that power to various circumstances or circumstances of ministry. You have to have enough faith in operation so that when the fear comes, you will not only believe you have received and make that confession, but you will stand against the onslaught of the enemy trying to beat you to death with fear. Now, please go to the book of James, chapter 4. That's the book of James, chapter 4. And we're going to read just this one scripture. And I think it will kind of close the door on our fear. So that's James, chapter 4. And we're going to read verse number 7. And it says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So the first thing we have to do then, when Satan comes or attempts to come with fear, it says, "Therefore, submit to God." We must submit to the word of God. And then it says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Amen? So we shouldn't be worrying about fear whatsoever. Because why? We've submitted to the word of God. Thank God you do not have to depend on anyone else to determine your victory. Thank God for that. This is not a basketball game, a baseball game, where you're depending on any other teammates for your success in the things of God. This is totally upon you. Listen with James 4:7. It says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So these things are on you. Your victory comes to you. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to read a very familiar scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, that I believe would help us in this area also. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 7. And it says this. And I will be reading this from the Amplified Study Bible. "And to study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing rightly and handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth." Amen. So we are told that we are to study. We are to study and to present ourselves to God. We're not doing this in a group session. We're doing this individually. It says study to be eager and do your utmost. So once you do your utmost and you do the best that you can according to your knowledge and the understanding of the word of God, God will honor that. Amen. He will honor that. And it's up to you. It's not on your family, your husband, your wife. You have that authority to deal with that, and you only. Remember, you are in a spiritual war. During the time you are exercising your faith on an issue that your faith can handle, and based upon your level of faith, you also have to be contend with the enemy coming against you. You are in warfare. He does not want you to get it, so he will come against you. He will come through your family, through your relatives, through friends, and through the circumstances, all kinds of ways. Remember, the confession, "I believe I have received," has to be kept in the present tense. Even though it is 10 days after you prayed, your confession is and has to be, "I believe I am not going to be healed, not being healed, but I am healed." Even though the manifestation may come progressively and you don't see yourself getting better, your confession has to be, "I believe I am." Keep your confession in the present tense. "I believe I am. I believe my need is met. I believe my taxes are paid," or whatever it is. "And I have to be paying my taxes this month." Amen. "So I believe that I've already received." Amen. "In the name of Jesus." This is where the battle is won or lost. Remember what I am getting ready to say right now to you. You will hear it all the time. You will hear the chatter that it does not make any sense what we are saying. And what we're saying is contrary to the Word of God. But I disagree with you. Number one, it's not contrary to the Word of God. But I do agree with you 100% that it does not make sense. Because we're not dealing with sense. We're dealing with faith. And it does make faith. You do not want to wait until you have a terminal condition or a situation where you have already have been told you have 6 months to live, or they're ready to foreclose on your home. Do not wait where you are already 13 payments behind. Believe God for the payments in the first place. Do not try to bite off more than you can handle faith-wise. Use some common sense. If you have Volkswagen faith, don't believe for Rolls-Royce desires. Did you get that? I said, if you have Volkswagen faith, do not believe for Rolls-Royce desires. Just because you have a desire for a thing does not mean you have the faith to cause that thing to come to pass. Remember, it is your faith that is going to bring it to pass. Jesus said in Mark 5:34, it says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." We know it was God's power, but it was her faith that released the power necessary to bring her healing. It was not God, and yet it was God, in that God provided it. It was already here. Everything you need and everything you would ever desire that is consistent with a godly life is already here in the earth realm. It is already here in the earth realm, but it's our faith that brings it to pass. Amen. Don't try to believe beyond your measure of faith. Learn how to believe God for the little things. Do not attempt to believe beyond your measure of faith at its present state of development. Let me repeat that. Do not attempt to believe beyond your measure of faith at its present state of development. When I say do not try to use your faith on something that is bigger than your faith can handle, I do not mean to say do not use your faith. But you need to understand that if you are in a terminal condition, if your situation is a $1,000 problem. You need $1,000 to eradicate that problem. If you only have $1, it is not going to work. You will have to increase that dollar to the $1,000 level. What I am saying is that $1 faith is not going to work on that. So do not try to use your faith on that and die in the process. That is what I want to get across to you. You may need some help, a doctor, medical assistance, surgery, or treatment. Do not try to use your $1 faith on a terminal condition. Well, I'm just about out of time for today's broadcast. But let me invite you to join us every Sunday for our teleconferencing church services. You can join us by simply dialing conference number 605-303-4834, access code 997-020-pound. Our services start at 2 p.m. sharp. Until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.